and Graham Lotz.
I wonder how Satan has caused you to be dissatisfied with God's will for your life. What's the forbidden fruit in your life?
So glad you've joined us for today's Living in the Light with Ann Graham Lotz in a message from God's Word encouraging us to take God at His Word. You know, we're all born with a sin nature, and our lives bear the fruit of sin through the choices we make, which is where sin started in the beginning. Here's Ann in Genesis chapter 3.
The Bible tells us that God is not only the God of creation, but He is the God of compassion, who so loved the world that He created, then He sent His own Son into the world, that when you and I place our faith in Him, we would not perish, but we would have everlasting life. Would you keep your focus not only on the God of creation, but the one who is also the God of compassion? Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve came from a perfect environment, perfect parents. They had no scars in their upbringing, no abuse when they were little, nothing that they could blame something on. Perfect environment. It was paradise. And that's where chapter 3 opens, with Adam and Eve living together in paradise, and it was in paradise that they were confronted with a choice. And our Creator is a God of compassion who allows you and me to make our own choices. He wants you and me to choose to love Him, to choose to want to know Him. So He didn't program us like little robots and set us in motion, but He gave us a free will. And because He's a God of compassion, He gives you and me the ability to make our own choices. And Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, and as our chapter opens, I would imagine that Eve, newly created with the body of a woman, but the naivety of an infant, really, was walking through the garden, and I would expect she felt the grass between her toes and the soft breeze across her skin, and she could smell the fragrance of the blossoms, and in this beautiful home, she's relaxed, and she's at ease, and she's off guard. Just like that, she's confronted with a moral choice. Satan is a strategist, and he knows when to come after you and me. And he came at Eve at a time she didn't expect. She's relaxed. And he will come at you and me at a time when we don't expect. It could be on a mountaintop. It can be when you go back down in the valley after a mountaintop experience, and you're filled with the blessing of the Lord and the sense of His presence. And just like that, you have a flat tire, your battery goes dead, somebody calls on Monday morning, chews you out for no reason. Kids have all done things you told them not to do, and, you know, he just comes right at us, doesn't he? And it can, of course, get much worse than that, but watch out, because he came to Eve at a time when she didn't expect it, and he came to her through a person she didn't suspect. And in verse 1, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And crafty means very smart, very intelligent. He was also a magnificent creature. And he comes up to Eve, and he's going to confront her with this choice. And I'll tell you what, if a snake slithered up to me and began speaking, it wouldn't be a problem. I would just run. So this makes me wonder, either she was so newly created she didn't know that serpents don't speak, or maybe in the beginning they did, because she's not surprised at all. And this is a very magnificent creature. When Satan comes to tempt you and me, he doesn't come like a red devil with horns and a pitchfork and a tail. He comes through a very attractive vessel. Satan will come to you and me through someone we don't suspect. Somebody in your family. Somebody at work. Maybe your boss is offering you a promotion. You just have to lie to get it. Maybe in some other way, but watch out. He comes at a time when you don't expect it. He comes through a person you don't suspect. The people that he uses to tempt us can be very attractive, and we can be very unsuspecting. And the choice was confronted, and the choice was cultivated. And it was cultivated in the same way he cultivates our choice to do wrong today. He cultivates it, first of all, by causing us to doubt the Word of God. Verse 1, he said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" And he was casting doubt on God's Word. And Eve was very vulnerable to this. And do you know why? Because back in chapter 2, verse 15 and verse 16, God had told Adam The Lord commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, you will surely die. It was after that that God created Eve. So Eve must have received God's word secondhand. There's no record that God himself spoke to Eve and said, you're not to eat from that tree. So I'm assuming that Adam, being the spiritual leader in the home, took Eve aside and said, Eve, you can have something of all of these other trees. You can have all of the fruit that you want, just not this one tree. You can't have the fruit from this one tree. And so Adam had taught Eve God's word, but she had really received it, in a sense, secondhand. And therefore, she was vulnerable to doubting the truth of God's word. How have you received God's word? Is everything you know about God's word through your pastor, or through your Sunday school teacher, or through a tape series, or through something that's offered perhaps in your church? Really good Bible studies, but unless you yourself are opening God's word and studying it for yourself, you're going to be vulnerable to the same temptation. You need to get in there and read it and ask, what does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? And you yourself read it, listening for his voice to speak to you, so you'll know for sure what God has said. And I would just challenge you, before you complete this series, in fact, even tonight, make the decision that you're going to place your faith in God's word, and you're going to get the truth of it for yourself, and every day you're going to spend some time. It doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour. You decide the time. But every day you read God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And you and I need to hide his word in our hearts so that we'll be strong against that kind of temptation. Eve was vulnerable because she'd gotten God's word secondhand. And Satan knew it, so he caused her to doubt the truth of God's word. And secondly, he cultivated the choice by causing her to be dissatisfied with God's will. When he said in verse 1, did God really say, that's a doubt, you must not eat from any tree in the garden. Now that's where he sows this little seed of dissatisfaction with God's will. Because he's saying, Eve, you mean God is a God of compassion and God loves you, and yet he would hold out on you? And you mean, Eve, if he really loves you, that he would say no to you? I can't believe that. If God really loved you, he would want you to have anything and everything you want. He would just make everything available to you. And he begins to cause Eve to start thinking about what's been withheld from her. And she begins to be dissatisfied with God's will for her life, which includes not eating the fruit from that one tree. And I wonder how Satan has caused you to be dissatisfied with God's will for your life. What's the forbidden fruit in your life? Something that's available, but God has said, no, you can't have it. Is it a divorce? Is it a neighbor's spouse? Is it just one more drink? Is it an opportunity for revenge? What is the one thing? It's a forbidden fruit. You can do it, but God has just said no. And the more he says no, the more you want to do it. You know, it's just the rebellion of our nature, isn't it? And when God says no, you can't have it, that begins to make you want it. And you become dissatisfied with his will, which says no to that. And so Satan began to cultivate this choice by just causing Eve to be dissatisfied with God's will. And the woman then spoke to the serpent in verse 2, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from that tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. And she adds that little phrase in there. I thought she was doing pretty good, actually, for getting God's word secondhand. She added the little phrase that you shall not touch it, but she had it pretty much right. But the problem is that she's discussing it with the snake at all. And that's another way he cultivates the temptation, isn't it? Through our doubt of God's word, our dissatisfaction with God's will, and then our discussion of it. And I'll tell you something, if God says no, it's not up for discussion. So I wonder what you're discussing that you ought to be just obeying. And when we discuss it, you know, especially if it's something that God has said no to and it's something that we really want and we'd love to have, and if you share it with somebody who loves you, they're going to want you to have what you want, and they're going to want you to be happy, and they're going to help you rationalize your disobedience just out of their love for you. Unless you've got a really good friend who will exercise tough love and say, if God says no, then he means no, and help strengthen you against that. When God says, no, you are not to have that divorce, or he says, no, you're not to take another drink, or he says, no, you're not to take opportunity for revenge, then you don't go discuss that with somebody. That's what God says, and you just be obedient, and you just hang in there. And Satan got her to discuss it. I was thinking of Joseph in the end of Genesis. Do you remember when his boss's wife laid hold of him and tried to drag him into her bed, and he ran so fast he left his coat in her hand? And Jesus said, if your eye tempts you, gouge it out. If your hand tempts you, cut it off. And he didn't mean to maim yourself. He just meant, if you're tempted, then cut it out. If something you're seeing is tempting you, then don't see it. You turn the TV off. You don't go to the movie. You cancel the magazine subscription. You don't go to the club. And if your hand and the things you do are causing you to be tempted, then you just don't do those things. You have to break off that relationship, or maybe you have to withdraw from that membership, or you have to pull yourself out of that job, and you just run from temptation. Don't think you're strong enough to handle it by continually being exposed to it. The more she gossiped, the more in trouble she got. And the fourth way he cultivated it was by leading her to deny God's goodness. In verse 5, he said, God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God and you'll know good and evil. Eve, God is holding out on you. And he knows that if you eat this fruit, you're going to get something, and he doesn't want you to have it. And he's just wanting to not give you everything that's the best for you, because God's really not good, Eve. And Satan's done a number on us because God is good and he does want the very best for you. And if he withholds something, it's because he knows that's not the best for you. And maybe he's withheld children, or he's withheld a husband, or he's withheld a job opportunity, or he's withheld education, or he's withheld your finances or something. And you keep thinking, if he really loved you, he would give you what you wanted. And yet he knows in the long run, for whatever reason, that it's not his best for you. God is good. Get that part of his story straight. And this temptation was being cultivated in Eve's life through doubt of God's word, dissatisfaction with his will, denial of his goodness. And then the choice became very clear. In verse 4, you will not surely die, the serpent said. How about that? Look back in chapter 2, verse 17. God said, you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And Satan comes along, chapter 3, verse 4, you will not surely die. The choice couldn't be any clearer. It's either Satan's lie or it's the truth of God's word. Now, what lies has Satan been telling you? I've been thinking of some of them. Let's listen to some of them. God says, you shall have no other gods before me. And Satan says, it's not a god, it's ESPN. All right, let's be fair, right? God says you shall have no other gods before me, and Satan says, it's not another god, it's just the shopping mall. And God says, you shall not murder. And Satan says, it's not murder, it's your right to choose. And God says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And Satan says, if you do that, you're going to get walked all over. You've got to assert yourself and demand your rights. And God's word says, be holy as I am holy. And Satan says, character doesn't count. It's just what you can get by with that works. And God's word says, the only way you're going to get to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. And Satan says, that's not so. There are other ways to God. God's word says there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby you can be saved, just the name Jesus. And Satan says, that's your religion. I've got my religion. We all have our own religion. It's okay as long as we're sincere. We need to be tolerant. And all the lies that he's still telling, still getting by with it. People still believing him. You can tell when it's a lie, when it contradicts the truth of God's word. And Eve was confronted with a choice to believe the lie or to believe the truth, to believe the liar or to believe God. And the choice then was compelled. And I think she was being pushed into it now when she began to seriously think about it and contemplate it. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she's thinking this thing through. And she's thinking how beautiful it looks. And it would be so soft to the touch. And I bet it tastes good. And you know, if she ate that and she had this knowledge of good and evil, everybody would be impressed. Never mind, there wasn't everybody, but you know. If she had neighbors, they would be impressed. She could one-up her neighbors, and she's thinking about it. And at that point, she's almost gone, isn't she? When you begin to contemplate it and think about it, what temptation are you making more attractive than it is? Because you're thinking about it. That's why Jesus said, when you're tempted, cut it out. Paul says, flee from it. Joseph ran from it. You don't sit there and think about it. You throw it away, you lock the door, you turn it off, you cancel the subscription, you break off the relationship, you cancel the membership, whatever you have to do. But don't put yourself in a position where you're going to be thinking about it. And if it comes to your mind, you just put something on the radio or the CD player, or you memorize a verse, or you do something to resist those thoughts that come into your mind. Because the thoughts led her to actually touch it. And she reached out. Maybe she thought, you know, if there's a fruit that's hanging low enough and I can readily reach it, and you know, if it comes off easily and drops in my hand, maybe that means I'm supposed to have it. And if it's available. And she just reached up and touched it, and it plopped into her hand, and it was easy to get it. And it must have felt smooth and soft and wonderful, and she's toying with temptation, toying with sin. And I wonder what temptation you're tolerating, you're thinking about, you're touching, even if it's just in your mind. And maybe it's just one more glass of wine. Maybe it's just a little harmless flirtation. Maybe it's channel surfing and you think, well, if I just happen to come across that channel, I'll pause for a minute. And maybe it's the magazine that comes in, and this particular issue is one that ought to be trashed, but you know it's there and it's on the coffee table and you know you've got a few minutes, and you're just toying and tolerating temptation in your life. And the third thing that compelled Eve was when she tasted it. In verse 6, she took some and she ate it. She just sank her little teeth into it. And I bet you for a moment there was a thrill. You know, she had done something that was forbidden and she had taken it and she had tasted it and it was wonderful. I bet if she was honest, it didn't taste any different from any of the other fruit. This one was just that God said, no, you can't have it. It was a test of her obedience to him, just to see if she would choose to love him with all of her heart, mind, soul, and strength, more than anything. So I don't think there was anything really different about this fruit, but there must have been a thrill at that moment when she took it and she tasted it, and no buzzer sounded. There was no lightning bolt, no big thunderclap. Nothing happened. And she turns around. Adam's right there. And she says, Adam, look at this. You told me if I ate this fruit that I would know the difference between good and evil, and that God said no. Well, Adam, nothing has happened. And God's word must not be as black and white as you say it is. Or maybe he just doesn't mean what he says, or maybe you interpreted it wrong, and see, nothing happened to me. Have some. And the sin became contagious. Isn't it something the way we can lead other people into sin, or somebody can lead us into sin, just by their example, by their encouragement? And Eve handed that fruit to her husband. And look in verse 6. She also gave some to her husband who was with her. Adam, you mean you've been standing there all this time? What are you doing? Adam, why in the world didn't you exercise the authority that's yours within the home and say, Eve, you can't talk to that snake. Eve, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Eve, come with me. I want you to go talk to God. Let God tell you what his word says. I wish Eve had said, you know, snake, I don't quite understand what you're saying. I'm not sure what God said because I got it secondhand. I'm just going to go run, ask God what he thinks. And what if Eve had gone and said, God, I've been talking to this snake and he says what you said is not so, and I'm not sure about it, and I think I've gotten it over my head. God, would you come back and talk to the snake for me? I would love to have seen that snake's face when Eve showed up with God. But Adam didn't intervene for her, and she didn't know enough to go running to her creator. And Adam took the fruit. And the New Testament tells you and me that Eve was deceived, genuinely deceived, but Adam was not. That's the tragedy. Adam looked at Eve, and he looked at that fruit, and he knew what God said. God had told him. He knew what God said. And he knew that if he ate that fruit, he would be disobeying God. And Adam made the deliberate choice to disobey God and side with his wife. And there was that rebellion within Adam's heart that he wanted his wife more than he wanted God. And I've wondered, what would have happened had Eve been deceived and she ate the fruit if Adam had said, "Oh no, Eve, I've been mesmerized by you. I just wasn't paying attention. I've allowed you to do something. Come." What if Adam had mediated for her? What if he had interceded for her? What if he had gone to the Creator and said, "God, this is the wife that you gave me, and I didn't take my leadership responsibility like I should have, and she's disobeyed you, but God, she got your word say." I wonder if God would have come up with some way to reconcile her to himself. But Adam took the fruit and deliberately disobeyed God when he took a bite of it. And I wonder, whose example are you watching? And they're leading you into sin because they seem to have sinned and gotten by with it. Someone perhaps who's cheated on their tax form and they've gotten more money. Someone who's cheated on a spouse and the spouse never found out and they just had a good time. Somebody who lied and got a promotion. Someone who has sinned, and you know it's sin because of what God's word says, but they've gotten by with it seemingly. Watch out. And watch out for the example you're setting. There will come an accounting. God's word says that. So we don't get by with our sin at all. The judge of all the earth does right. Vengeance is his. He will repay, says the Lord. God is not only the God of creation, the God of compassion. And he allows you and me to make bad moral choices. And he holds us accountable with the bitter consequences. This is something Satan never tells you about, by the way. You know, he never tells you about the overwhelming feeling of shame and filth and guilt the morning after you sleep with your date. He never tells you about the psychological trauma that's with you the rest of your life after you've had the abortion. He never tells you about the panic attacks that set in after you've sent in and falsified your income tax statement. He never tells you about the insatiable desire for one more drink and one more drink and one more drink until gallons of alcohol wouldn't satisfy your thirst. He just doesn't tell you about the consequences. But they're there.
Now here's Anne with this final word.
Satan had told Eve her eyes would be opened, and she would be like God, knowing good and evil. In one sense, he was right. Eve's eyes were opened, but in a grotesque way. She knew good, but also that she was separated from it. She knew evil because now she was saturated in it. She knew good and evil in a way God never intended her to know, through her own experience, and she was deeply ashamed. That was the first consequence of her sin. Are you hiding from God? Have you stopped praying and reading your Bible? Are you in your heart and mind closed to Him? Deep down, you're afraid of being found out. And the last thing you want to hear or read is His word, because you too are ashamed. God is righteous and just, but listen to me. God is also loving and merciful, a God of compassion. Satan, in his plan to defeat the purpose of God, failed to take into account the very character of God. It never occurred to Satan that the Creator of the universe would lay down his own life in atonement for man's sin. But that's exactly what happened. God loves you. God loves you. And God offers you forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration at the cross of Jesus Christ.
Living in the Light is a weekly study in God's Word with teacher and author Anne Graham Lotz. Learn to listen to His voice. then start making the choice to keep on going and believing and trusting who God is. Go to anngramlotz.org. Take advantage of the many helpful free resources to get you started. Join us again for Living in the Light.